Well, I surely desire your prayers. I really appreciated the message last night. It was a real challenge to me. And for those that weren't here, it was about faith. And what I thought about it was a faith that makes you work. And it was a faith that does something. And we need faith. There is a lot in the scriptures talk about faith. The Bible teaches that we can't receive anything from God except by faith. Scripture says that it's impossible to please God without faith. You got to have faith. Must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek. Faith will make you diligently seek because there's a reward at the end of it. There is something that about having faith. And I think that we have faith. But also know that there's things that can happen to faith. I remember a man years ago, he wasn't among us, but he had some hard things come into his life. He was a man that testified that he had faith. He believed. And some hard things come into his life. And after a period of time and things of disappointments and things didn't turn out like maybe faith hoped for, he said at the end of it all, "I don't have any faith." He said, "I used to believe and now I don't believe anymore." He said, "I don't have any faith." Do you know there's something can happen to faith? But we're desperate to have faith. Do you know it's going to be having faith that's going to take us through our problems? It's going to be faith that's going to take us to heaven. We're going to have to believe. To be able to follow the Lord, we're going to have to believe Him. We're going to have faith in Him. Just not long ago, probably most of you know it, but I'll be honest with you, I was really rocked over something. And it was one of those things that kind of blindsides you. Most things like that has to do personally with me or one of my family members that does it. But this was a little bit removed from that, but yet it wasn't. It was one of the saints. And got the news, the Howard family. And Matt and Sarah. And stayed in their home before, and they've stayed in ours. And we've been friends. Been close. And got the report that their little 6-year-old boy had a brain tumor. I'm going to tell you, that just rocked me. Little six-year-old boys don't get brain tumors. They ain't supposed to. And they do sometimes, but they're not supposed to in our world. They're not supposed to among the saints. They're not supposed to be somebody that I know real close. And I'll be honest with you, that just rocked me. And I had to say to the Lord, "Lord, how does a person deal with something like that? I can hardly imagine it to try to deal with it." The intensity of that and everything that come to my mind of what that entailed, I just said, "Lord, how does a person get to the place? I know You're requiring it. I know that it's common demand. I know that everyone else is going to have to. But Lord, I don't know how to. I just don't know how to face something like that and feel good about life. Or have the hope from here. How do you deal with something?" That's the way my feelings was going. But I know this. I need faith. I need to have some faith. Because there's things that happens that they get bigger than me so quick. I always considered myself a pretty strong emotional person. I'd handle some things. But I'll tell you something. I can't handle some of those things. I don't have the emotional fortitude to be able to deal with some of the things that happen. And I can try to muster up something and have all kinds of ways of dealing with it. But the real way of having to deal with these things is to have faith. I've got to have faith. So there's a scripture over in Matthew 8th chapter. You want to look at the 23rd verse. When the Lord dealt with me about this, it gave me courage. It made me to know that I can, by God's grace, have faith in Him. I can, in the darkest times, know that it's well with my soul. That life's worth living, and it's a good life to live for the Lord. When the Lord tells me when I come out to the end of it, regardless of what it looked like, I'd have faith in God and know that He's on His throne. So here in the 8th chapter, Matthew 23rd verse, it says, "And when He was entered into a ship, His disciples followed Him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But He was asleep. And His disciples came to Him and awoke Him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And He said unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" And Lord, help us. The Lord loved these men. But I wonder how many times that He would say to us, "Oh, ye of little faith." Do you know they followed Him into that ship? Now, to me, that signifies something. That means that they had faith in Him. I believe these disciples loved Him and had faith in Him. And they carried their faith with them into that ship. They were faithful men. They believed Him to be something special. They had heard His words. They had saw His miracles. They had known Him to be something special, and they was following Him knowing that there was something there beyond the normal. They had faith in Him, and they got in this ship, and they're going along. And you know, this is a pretty easy place for me to express to you that I have faith in God. Nobody here is going to scorn me for it. Then nobody don't look down on for you. If you believe it, you'll admire it. And if I can convince you of it, you'll think it's a good thing. It's not a hard thing. I feel good and everything going pretty well in my life, so I can say I've got faith. I believe Jesus to be the Son of God. He saved my soul. I can go on and say that. And I'm going to tell you, with my faith in Him, I'm going to heaven. Thank the Lord. I can proclaim that. Now, but these men had that kind of mind. And they followed the Lord with that kind of a mind. And then they come into this place, and you all know what the scene is. The Lord seemed like He's very peaceful, and He's laying asleep. And there arose, and the scripture in 4 point says, there was a great tempest. It was a great storm. It's putting out there great. It means that it's no common thing. It's nothing to say colds are common. Flus are common. You stub your toe. You get bumps. You have some common things. But this is trying to say this is not common. This is a great tempest. This is one in its natural course has destroyed many men. A great tempest arose. These men had faith. But now the great tempest has arose. And now they begin. What did they do? They begin to look at the storm and the potential that it had for what they had always known. These were seagoing people. They knew what the sea was like. They knew what happened when the wind got up. You don't want to be out on the water when the wind picks up. Get out there as fast as you can. But they weren't able to, and now they're out in the middle of it, and the storm's raising. Can't row fast enough now. Now we're in trouble, and we've seen it before, and we've heard it, and we've known of it. We're going to perish. That's the only thing human reasoning could come up with at that point, is that the boat's not big enough to withstand it. It's too small of a craft. We've seen it before, and the end of it's got to be this thing capsizing. You can't swim that far. No life preservers. It's the end of us. And human reasoning said that to them when they looked at it. Do you know that's our fault most of the time? Most of the times we'll begin, and the devil's in it. He won't let you leave it alone. You can say, I ain't thinking about it in the morning. You lay down, what's the first thing you think of? The devil's there trying to say, this is, oh, look at this, and this great storm, this great tempest arose. So they went and said to the Lord, almost blaming, I think, Lord, we're going to perish here. And Jesus' response was, why are you fearful? You ever ask yourself that? Have you ever been fearful? Is there anybody immune to it? Those things come and fear will grip hold on it. And what's left? This is all there is. And Jesus said, why are you fearful? Makes me to know that he didn't want them to be fearful. That wasn't really what he wanted for them. He wanted them to have faith. Faith doesn't look at that. It doesn't deny it either. I'll make a point of that later, but there's no reason in saying there's no storm here. There is storms. There is things that happen. There really is. But he said, oh ye of little faith. And you know, I read a thing that said that could be said this way. It could be said, where did you lose your faith? It said, why are you fearful? Where did you leave your faith? In other words, you had faith, but where did you leave it at? Where did you forget it? Where did you not go on with it? Where did you lose it? I know you're men of faith. You followed me. Oh, you're fearful. Oh, ye of little faith. Why did you lose it? Where did you lose it? Think about it. Where is your faith? He's going to stir them to their thinking. What are you trusting in today? Are you trusting in luck? Do you think that you've got enough luck to get you through it? Is that what you're counting on, that some dreadful disease won't strike you? Don't everybody? Are you counting on that it won't strike you? And you'll be devastated if it does because your luck just run out. Your luck just run out? That's the kind. What are you trusting in today? Do you know that most of the time what happens, I feel like the Lord helped me to see this. Get your eyes off of the storm. Get your eyes off of the circumstances because you'll lose your faith every time you do it. And you'll look at that thing until it'll raise up, and before long that'll be the biggest thing that it is. It is your number one thought in your mind. That is the thing that's compelling you. It's the thing that's moving you. It's the thing that causes you to do what you do because you've meditated, you've thought, you've warred, you've worked with that thing until it's impassable, it's impossible. There's nothing but that can happen. And all at the same time, the Creator of the world is in the boat. Do you know what Jesus says here? Now listen to this. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea. Oh, that's God. You know why he could do that? He's the one that told it to start. That's important. We've got to believe that. Do you know he can tell the winds to die down because he's the one that told them to pick up? He got control over it. Do you know this isn't a haphazard event out there? The Lord rules the winds and the seas. And he told it, raise up here. I'm going to teach my disciples something. I want them to see this place here. I want them to know that I'm God. I'm their God. I want them to know that as long as I'm aboard. No, I want the future generations of my people to know if I'm on board, the ship can never go down. And you can have faith in God. You can believe no matter what the circumstances are. You can believe if you'll get your eyes off of it and get your eyes on the one that's able. Oh Lord, you caused this storm to be great. And then what did he do? He caused it to be a great calm. And to me, the Lord put that in there for a reason. As great as the storm is as great as the peace can be. And when he spoke to it, it laid down. I imagine it like glass. I don't think the wind even rustled. I think they shut up. I think that the disciples was quiet and they looked and the sea probably maybe rocked just a little in my mind. Just like, great was the calm And we was about to perish. Now, that'd make you scratch your head, wouldn't it? I was sure of it. Have you ever been in a place that you was convinced that something, it had to happen? I mean, I've seen all the details of it and it had to happen. And maybe, and then all of a sudden, the Lord did something. Well, Brother Michael, forgive me for using you an example, but it was only getting worse. I mean, look at the circumstances. It's only getting worse. How can it get better? It's been so long just getting worse. Can it get any better? No, well, I don't see how it could. I don't see how the thing could get any better. But the Lord never said that. But to have faith in Him means for us to get our eyes off of the events. Oh, it looks impossible, but it's not impossible with God. I want to tell you, what the Lord wants us to do when we face our battles is to turn ourselves to God. He that is able, He that created the universe, He that calms the storm, that splits the Red Sea, He that defeats the enemies, though they're great, this is the one that He wants us to look to. By faith. Faith that we do. And I'll be honest with you. We hear of cancer way too much. And it's fearful. And it's not like a common cold. Now, we can say it is to the Lord, and there's a sense of that's right, but there's a sense of it that it ain't either. In the natural sense, it's scary. And it looks awful. Well, whose disease is it? Did he give it to the devil and say, I can't do nothing about it? Who rules over it? Who says that it's there? Where did it come from? It must be in the order of God somewhere. Isn't it? Or is it a part of the plan? How did it happen? You remember the man that come, they asked him about the man and said, who sinned here? And nobody sinned. It's to the glory of God that it happens. Is these things underneath God? Or are they above Him? They're underneath Him. And by faith, I believe the Lord's given us the privilege by faith to not dwell on those things, get away from that and look to God. To be able to say, Lord, Your purpose is great. I know that You're God. I know that You're able. Do you remember when Peter came, the Lord came and they thought He was a spirit to start with and they was afraid and the Lord spoke to him and said, fear not, it's I. He was walking on the water and Peter, being bold, said, Lord, bid me to come. And the Lord said, come. And do you know that's in the Scripture for a reason? Faith. Faith in what He had His mind on and His heart on. That's Jesus. He's the one we're following. This is the one that He's our Savior. This is Jesus. Bid me to come. And He said, come. And Peter, by faith, stepped out of that boat. By faith, he walked on the water. He had his eyes on the Lord. The Lord said, come. His whole mind, his whole being was on Jesus. And he defied the elements. He defied the natural events. You're supposed to sink. But he didn't. He walked on the water until his faith faltered. Why did his faith falter? Because men can't walk on water. That's why it faltered. It faltered because he looked around and began to see all the turbulence that was happening. All the reality of humanity. All the reality of the laws of nature and of the world and everything that's got to be that we know and understand to be. And that's when he looked and began to understand those things as the principle of leading his life. Is when he started to sink. When Jesus was the principle of all that he knew and what he was going for, he walked on the water. Because he had faith in him that was able. But when he turned away from that and began to look around, he started to sink, didn't he? And even with that, the Lord came by and said, oh, you little faith. Peter, where did you lose your faith at? Where did you leave it there for a moment? Why did you let loose of it? We need faith. And we need it real bad. In our time, now, we need faith. We need to be faithful individuals. We need to have faith in God. Oh, when that word comes, I'm going to say again, I have known people that would say, I ain't claiming it. And I used to think, disclaim it all you want to, it's still realities. I don't believe in just ignoring things. I ain't what I'm talking about today at all. One of my daughters worked with a lady and she had a little physical problem happen. She went and got it checked out and they told her, this is what's wrong with you. And she come back and she ended up and she said, I'm not claiming it. I don't have it. And when I go back for the next test, it's not going to be there. And if it is there, it's still not there. I said, boy, I don't know. You can't really go wrong with a pot like that. I ain't claiming it. That ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about looking at the reality of the situation. There's a storm brewing, but I got a God that's bigger than the storm. There is diseases in this world, and we got a God that rules every one of them. We got a God that's able and better than that. I remember Brother Sammons, and it was so encouraging. Call him over, somebody sick at the house, needing prayer, and Brother Sammons would come over there. And he many, many times he'd come over there and say, let's have prayer. Not a prayer, not the prayer of faith and anointing the Lord. Let's have prayer. And he'd get down and he'd start praying. Almighty God. God that created everything. God that's helped us. And he'd start listing them. Oh Lord, you remember the time that you healed a disease? You remember the time you did? And he would go through focusing and getting his eyes on the Lord. His faith. I'm telling you, by the time he got through, it was so beaming in the place. And so full of faith, well, there ain't anything the Lord can't do. Go ahead and pray. We're ready now. We're ready now. Do you know what we could do? We could all come in. We're going to have prayer for them. What? Well, what do you think it is? Well, it's this. People die of that. You know, people die. Well, most people get that die. And we'll talk about it a little bit and then say, let's have prayer. It ain't going to do any good, but let's go ahead and offer it and look like we're supposed to anyway. The Lord wants us to have faith. Yes. Faith in Him. Get our minds on Him that's able to take care of the problem. So the Lord here rebukes the and there's a great calm that happens. You remember the story of David? Brother Ivan touched on some of these scriptures. You know David? Oh, David goes up there to visit his brothers. Big war getting, battle getting ready is supposed to be taking place, and David's expecting it because that's what they're supposed to be doing. The Philistines is coming into the land and they're supposed to be put out of there. So he's expecting it to be done. It's right to expect it to be done. That's what we're supposed to do. But Ivan mentioned it. You know, I think it's a shame. I think it's a disgrace to God and to faith if somebody can't get deliverance at our altars. That's what they come for. That's what we need. It's what we gotta have. If we can't have faith for that, if it's not what's expected, you know what we're here for? The salvation of souls. The deliverance from the devil. If it don't happen, Lord help. If we can't be delivered from habits and problems, and if we can't be delivered from the ailments and the things that in this life, if we don't ascend above that, Lord help us. David went up there with an expectation that wasn't happening. And he looked and you know what he found? A lot of fearful people. And David went down there and faced the giant. Now, come on. You can't face giants. Every human evidence, all the human evidence meant that David was going to get stomped. There was no way to compete there in that situation. But David didn't look to the size of the giant. Neither did he say he's a little feller. He knew he was a giant. And he treated him like a giant. When you start not treating the giants like the giants, you're going to try to fight him yourself. That was a giant and he's too big for me. And that wasn't what David was saying. David didn't go down there with a heart full of fear saying he's a giant and he's too big for me. And it wasn't that he didn't see Goliath. And it wasn't that he didn't see the army behind him. And it wasn't that he wasn't aware of what failure was. He had all of that very fixed in his mind, in his heart. You know what he went down there with? Faith. He went down there looking to the God that had done it throughout the generations for him and his people. He went down there with the assurance of God that God was with them. He said he wouldn't leave them, forsake them. He must be with them. He said all the way back to Joshua, he said, go and be of a good, strong and of a good courage, and I'll go with you. He had already promised and made many promises, and David already believed. And I wonder, Scripture doesn't say this, but I wonder before David went down there if he didn't kneel down and start saying, "Oh, God of the universe. God that created everything. God that delivered Moses across the Red Sea. And the walls fell down for old Joshua. And the one that delivered mightily with Gideon." And I wonder if he didn't go through the list of it and then stand up and say, "Now. Now I'm ready to go down there and face something that's bigger than I am. Now I've got some faith. I know that I'm looking to one that's able." Oh, this. He told him, didn't you? "You uncircumcised Philistine. You're not dealing with me. I didn't come to you with sword and spear. I come to you in the name of the Lord." Now you got something to deal with here. Got some faith involved in here. Do you know that's the way we must face our battles? If we're going to be victorious, we're going to have to face it, not looking and cowering down to all the things that happen around us, the storm that rages, all the difficulties that I see. Sometimes they can burden us down, and every one of us in you that's old enough to know knows what I'm talking about. A place that you can hardly grab. You ever trying to grapple with faith? I've done it and try to grit my teeth and have faith. "Lord, I know I've got to believe in you. Just got to think. Just got to." That's not the secret to having faith. You got to stop. Brother Ivan said it well last night. You need to know the Lord. You need to have. Once you really start knowing Him and start focusing back on He is, faith starts coming. This is God. This, "Well, Lord, oh, I got to know what your purpose is, and I'll stand on it because it cannot fail." You know, there's people sometimes saying, "Church going down." "Oh, no, the church is going down." Now, come on. Ain't no church going down. Jesus already said He'd build it upon the rock, and the gates of hell would not prevail against it, and it's not going down. You have family members that is impossible to get saved. You look at them and say, "The world's too big. The devil's got too much of a hold of them." You're looking the wrong place. Start looking to Christ. Start looking to the one that's tore down the ways of Satan. Go look to the one that defeated him. And every time that the devil tried, the Lord defeated him on every hand. You start looking to that, and you can start saying, "You know what? I'll get some faith here. The Lord can save my unsaved children. They can save my unsaved brother and sister. They can say, oh, that old situation." They say, "Well, they're in adultery 5 times. Or they're in this or that." Do you really think that's too big for God? You think the Lord can't deal with somebody's heart and give him great and able and take him to heaven? I know He can. He's God and He can do those things. Now, you know, there was a time that the children of Israel came up, and they was a doubting people. Brother Ivan mentioned that too last night. But the children of Israel came up, and it was time for them to go into what God had established and planned for them. Now, that's a big thing to say. God made a plan for them. He's got one for you. He's got a plan. He's got a place. And He's got a will for you. "I know my thoughts towards you," the Lord said, "of good and not of evil. Give you expected end." The Lord knows. Got a plan for every one of us and wants to take us to that plan. He had a plan for the children of Israel that had been prophesied way back. And it was through Abraham. Abraham had enough faith to get a hold of it. And to come on down, the Lord wanted them to have faith enough to go into the same land. He got down there to that place and ready to cross over there. So they sent the spies over there. Now, I don't know. I thought this way before. I don't know if that was even a wise thing to do. I wonder if they should have just bowed up there at the river and said, "Forget the spies. The Lord didn't say no. He said, so let's just go get it. We don't need to know any more than we know now." But it's God. If God said it was theirs, then it's theirs. But anyway, they sent the spies over. You know the story. And what did they go over there? They spied out the land. And they went over there and they looked out. And I imagine that in my mind, I think the children of Israel were sitting back. All the children of Israel was thinking back that we're supposed to get cities that we didn't build and vineyards that we didn't plant. And they come back saying, "Oh, there's a few little old scrawny fellows over there. But they're about this tall and they ain't even got swords. We just go over and we'll make slaves out of them or something." They must have had something in their mind of what this was going to be. So they went over there and they scouted it out. And boy, they had fruit over there, didn't they? And they brought it back. And they come over and you know the story, there was 10 of them said, "Here's what it is, but they're giants over there. Big men and walled cities and strong, and we're like grasshoppers." in their sight, in our sight, and in theirs both. We know what, and you know what they said? We ain't able. We ain't able to do it. Oh, they cried all night long over that. But now there was two that went over there with the same eyes, with the same report. They come back and said, there's fruit over there, and surely it flows with milk and honey. And they got giants over there. Big men. And we're like grasshoppers to them. And their cities are thick, walled, thick cities. And we're well able. What? They told the same story, didn't they not? What was the difference? See, they didn't come back and saying, I don't know what these other brethren seen. There ain't no walled cities over there. There's no walled cities. No giants. We don't have giants. You can't neglect it. There's no reason to neglect it. God don't want us to neglect it. Because that's to say God can't remove them. God ain't afraid of walled cities. He ain't afraid of giants. God wants us to have faith and move into what He wants us to have by faith. And I'm going to tell you, by faith you'll always have it around you. But there will always be your difficulties. And by faith you'll prosper over it all. And you'll look around all through your life by faith and you'll see great things around you. Trying to destroy you, and by faith you'll be on top of it all the time. By faith. They said, we are well able. You know what they was looking at? They was looking at God. That's all they had there. They had a heart for God. They said, if they've done it before, you know, God just split the Red Sea, folks. Come on. There ain't no giants going to stand up to that. Let's move into this. But the people looked at the circumstances. They based their whole existence on the circumstances around us. If we do that in our day, folks, we're going to perish spiritually. We will never prosper by looking at the things that are around us. We live in a wicked world. Well, then nobody can be saved. This United States is getting so wicked that they ain't no one can be saved in this kind of a place. Is that right? No. If we're getting faith on Jesus, it's not right. Jesus can save. I want to tell you what. Jesus was born into one of the most heathenistic, barbaric times that there was in history. And people got saved. The power of the gospel was able to reach down through all of that right here in 2000, almost 8. The same gospel is afforded to our nation. We look and say, oh, the flood of evil is surely going to overtake us. No, by faith it won't. If I have faith in God and believe in Him, there ain't one of those things can touch it. Not only that, do I have to stand back and try to defend the thing. I believe there's an offense to take against it that I can go down and tear down some walls. I believe still yet in this day that the gospel's shining. The Lord wants you and I to shine with it. To have faith. So, how many times do you think the Lord could say to you, to me, where'd you lose your faith? Challenging us. Won't you go pick it back up? Now, I looked at a situation of a little 6-year-old boy with a brain tumor. And I worked around with it in my mind till it discouraged me. And then the Lord spoke to me and I started looking to what He is and what He's done. And praise God. they haven't lost one bit. Not one jot, not one tittle. There hasn't been one loss in the whole thing. And there will be no loss in it. But in faith in God. Because the truth about it is, He knows the end from the beginning. He knows the start from the finish. He knows how to get us there. And when those kind of things come, there is a magnificent grace for it. Have faith in God. The hardest time I ever faced in my life, standing completely at my wit's end, didn't know what to do, and I told the Lord, Lord, I'm at the end of it. The Lord flooded me with His grace to know that I get through this just fine by faith. Have faith in Him. There's a song in the songbook. There's actually two I want to look at. Songwriters got a hold of this pretty well. Probably using these scriptures, but in 284, The Virtue of Faith. The fourth verse says, the waves around may fiercely roll. They do, don't they? I tell you, it's amazing to me how quickly a day can change. Going along and just everything right with the world. And one little old phone call. one little old event, something that seems so minor sometimes, something that alters and changes the whole. You know that you're in for a battle. You know that you're in for it. All this song said, the waves around may fiercely roll. Won't do you any good to say they're not. You just as well say they're rolling. And they're going to roll. But the writer said they cannot. They cannot, and I found it to be true. They cannot harm my trusting soul. Let them roll as much as they can roll. One thing they can't do. Yeah, they can knock and bruise, and they can do a lot of things, but they cannot harm my trusting soul when I'm trusting in the Lord. Having faith in Him, they ain't going to hurt me. They will not hurt me. God is bigger than these. He's got grace for it. He's got power. They only make me better. They only make me stronger by His promise, by His Word. They only increase me. Let Him come. Devil beat on it. You can do all you can do, but you cannot harm my trusting soul. Oh, and I like this. It says, regarding not what I may see. There it is. I'm not going to look at that and regard it. I know it's real. I know it's there. It's something to deal with. But I'm not going to regard it as my faith and my trust. I'm not going to let it determine how I do things. I'm not going to let it alter and change my disposition and the way I feel and do about things. I won't let it change me. Regarding not what I may see with these old eyes. Oh, I think of the scriptures. I really like this scripture. You remember the time that Hezekiah got put up against the wall? Sennacherib, the Assyrians were great. They were, at that time, they were the world power. These men were fierce. And they come up there, he sends, you remember the story, he come up there and kind of played around with Hezekiah, but basically told him, and he liked to do it in Hebrew, so everybody know it, we're going to come up there and we're going to wipe you out just like, and don't go telling these people that your God's going to deliver you, because everybody else said that too, and there wasn't one God able to stand before us, and you're in line next. So why don't you just give in, make it easy on yourself? You know the story. You know Hezekiah gets pinned up. You reckon he was any at all fearful? You know how they treated captured kings? It wasn't pretty. It was a sight for the king. But they, you come in and get, and here Hezekiah's there. And you remember the letter that he sent? Regarding not what I may see. He took the letter, and did he say, tell these people, oh, let's not claim it. Let's just say there is no army of the Assyrians. There's no, let's just not. No, he didn't do that. He said, this is a real threat. This is a real thing. And he took the letter and he said, we serve a God. And he took the letter and he laid it before God. He didn't say, you know what? I think if we're tricky enough, if we're strong, if we get some allegiance with Egypt, if we do something, we can do something here and get something going and we can fight back. You know what he did? Faith. Faith against the great armies. Faith against old Sennacherib. I'll tell you what, took the letter and went and opened it up and let the Lord read it. Lord, here's the letter that they wrote. You know we ain't able. Lord, we're committing your people into your hands. It's the only thing we know what to do. Can you tell me a better way to deal with life? I'm telling you, I'm desperate to know how to deal with some of these things in life. I've got to be able to go through them with victory in my soul. I've got to be able to come out the end of it. I don't want to come out the end of it and say I don't have no faith. I went through all this now and all the struggles and things, and I get down to the end of it and say, I don't even know whether it's God or not. There's nothing worked. The wife dies, the child dies, the feet die around me. I did all faith that I tried to get, I couldn't do it, and it hurts me, and I'm human, and I don't have no faith left. We got to have faith. Lord, help us to have faith. Sennacherib laid it out before the Lord, didn't he? Lord, here it is. All I know how to do is to give it to a God that's able to deal with it. And laid it out before him, and did no Lord hurt him? The Lord honored him. They never lifted a finger against them. Lord smote them. Lord smote them all. They got all twisted up and started killing them. They killed each other, didn't they? The Lord fought the battle right there in that time. He caused a great tempest into a great calm. He'll do the same for you and I. All regarding not what I may see. My faith, O Lord, ascends to Thee. You want to have faith in God? look to God. Point yourself to who He is. I'm going to tell you, here's a place too. Most of the time, we don't really get involved in doing that until the storm comes. It's better off to just stay right with it. Let him convince you who He is. He's wanting to. He's wanting you to know Him and who He is. And for me to know that that same one that was with me and spoke to me yesterday will be with me today. Do you know the Lord? He's so good. I appreciate what Brother Stanley said about people around you. The Lord's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The times that the Lord has prepared us for the events ahead. The times that the Lord has come. There was one time we went to service. I was only saved about a year. Went to service and this may seem strange to you, but it's what happened. We went to service and Brother Sammons preached a real dynamic message on hitting the rock. Oh, he just made us to know you hit the rock. When you get in business with God, you make sure that the fire flies. And I remember going home from that thinking, that's just what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray till the fire flies. And we got home, and Tammy, my first wife, she was kind of fearful. And anyway, we got home, and for some reason, this spirit of fear fell over her. Just drastic. And I was saying, what are you afraid of? I don't know. She was just scared. Well, I was a real naturally fearful person. And I remember that message come to my mind. And I thought, you stay here. I'm going to go pray. And as I went through, we had a trailer at the time. As I went through that trailer, the devil was never realer. The hairs pricked up on the back of my neck. You better not go in that dark room trying to make me to fear. And it seemed like when I bent down there at the couch that the devil bent down, just like his dark shadow and everything, bent down right over me. Do you know what come to my mind? Pray to the fireflies. Get older. And you know, I just poured it out to the Lord until the Lord witnessed to my soul in peace. A great peace. And when I went back, do you know, I went back in there and said how, and she said, fine. Well, you scared? No, I'm not scared. Do you know the Lord had prepared us through His Word already? The Lord is wanting to help you and I in our lives to have faith. In Him, I'll fight your battles for you. I'll be with you when you need it. And it's not always the great, it's the small. I'll be with you to help you in it all. Oh, He said, my faith, O Lord, ascends to Thee. You ever been here? The darkest sight, or night. The darkest night in brazen sky. Sometimes it don't look like there's any light anywhere. Darkness all around. You ever been in a place like that? Gloom. But it says, are pierced by faith's unfailing eye. And see through that by faith. If I got faith to look through to see the Lord, all of those things seem to change, don't they? It makes a difference. You know, sometimes I wonder, you know, Lord, I don't think the Lord always wants to heal everything just right up. I think He wants us to have faith. You know, He wants us to have faith to say, Lord, I think You can do it right. I think I'll just go ahead and trust You regardless of what You do. Brother Jim White's got a cancer. Got it on there several years ago. Got a cancer right there on his face. Now, we've known several people that's got cancer on their face and went ahead and was pretty bad seen. I say that. It was only bad to the eye. Brother Mac Buzzard up home got cancer on the side of his face. Eat his ear off completely. Had the side of his mouth eat away. And into his eye, all bandaged up, kind of smelly. But boy, did he have faith. Go up there to him and he'd sit and tell you what the Lord is doing like this right here. I seemed like, told me one day, said, it ain't this that hurts, it's this cancer inside that's hurting me more, but the Lord's blessing me, he said. Kept on. That ain't such an ugly scene after all. I got to see something. I got to know. You know what? Lord wants us to have a working faith, a faith that's real, a faith that'll get you through that. You know, he believed the Lord was taking him right on. He kept seeing the Lord and everything. And even though, you know, you look at that and that'd discourage you, wouldn't it? Brother Jim had got one on his face and, you know, I know he battled. He talked about it some. This could be bad. I know what this could do. But you know, the Lord pointed him away from that thing. Look to me. And you know, that thing got to going one time and got big and his eye got infected and all red and it looked like it was going to do what it's supposed to do. Do you know the Lord stopped that thing and he never did take it away, but it's just a little old scab set there right there all the time. By faith. By faith. It's not like it had. You look at the circumstances of what's supposed to be, the diagnosis, those kind of things. God don't work like that. God don't have to work like that. Oh, we'll get our eyes off of it. Lord, help us. Get our eyes off of it. Quit regarding it to the detriment of my life. Lord, I'm going to trust in you. Leave my life. Well, Brother Dale Doolittle should have been out of here a long time before we ever left. But by faith, he went on. By faith, he went on through those circumstances. He told me he was supposed to die when he was 28, and at the time he was 68. And he said, Lord kept him 40 years. By faith, regarding not what we might see. Oh, it says in the last of this, it says, the darkest night and brazen sky are pierced by faith. Unfailing eye. My cry shall be till time shall cease. O blessed Lord, my faith increase. Lord, I know that the answer to these things, what we heard last night, is faith. Through a relationship in the Lord, faith that works by love, faith that comes by love in God, by looking to Him, having trust and confidence in Him. Why did a little 6-year-old boy have a brain tumor? I don't know. But I know there's a God that's bigger than it. I know there's a God with a great purpose that's working it all out for our good. And that's God. Lord help us. The songwriter said, I care not today. All right. We'll try that. I care not today what tomorrow may bring. If shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything. And all of my worries are vain. And that's the truth. Lord, help us today to have a real faith in God. If you're in a battle today, don't give that battle a lot of credit. Don't give that circumstance credit. Don't need to deny it. If you've run to the end of your rope, or if you got problems that don't look like they can be fixed, I remember I preached this several times. I remember years ago, my oldest daughter, Sabrina, she was just a wee little girl, and she had a balloon, and she blew it up, and it, I say busted. She's just like, it's supposed to be burst, but that's just not the way we say it. That balloon busted. And when I got home, my wife said that she told her, my little girl did, said, oh, it's all right. Daddy will fix it when he gets home. I'm going to tell you, that was a challenge. I remember thinking, oh boy, a balloon. You can't glue it. I know you couldn't glue it. I kept trying to think of it. Could you really fix one? You know that? And the Lord gave me a thought about that. You can't. You just hit your limit. And I thought, you know what? Life's like that, isn't it? You can hit your limits real quick with the things that come around you. And you know what the Lord said? I can fix it. I can cause people's broken lives to hold air again. I can make them blow up and be full and happy and fulfilled again. And I can do it in the face of the wind and the storms. And I can make it to be fulfilled and what it should be, regardless of habits, regardless of past, regardless of the future that it looks like, regardless of ailments and sicknesses and diseases and disappointments and all the bitternesses and things that can come in life. The Lord can still put the air back into it. And make it wholesome and right and worth living. You want to live a life that's not worth living? You want to live depressed and run down? I don't. I want to know how. Lord, help me to know how to have faith in you. You pray for me. I want to be faithful to the Lord.